We're talking about love today, and I am going to tell you that it has been tremendous looking at this. I read a book recently that I would highly recommend to anyone called The God-Shaped Brain, and it talks about how the brain works and how it gets wired by our experiences, and it's hard to change the wiring. Anybody agree with that? Anybody just do stuff that you don't understand why you do? I did it this week. I don't even understand why I do it. I went and saw Star Wars, okay? No, that's not that. That's not the funny part yet. But I went and saw it, and we just chowed down dinner real quick. Didn't we have spaghetti that night? I mean, just pounded down a bunch of spaghetti, ran out the door to see it, ordered the ticket, and got Milk Duds. I don't even know why, but I always have to have Milk Duds, you know? And I ate them, and I was really, it was the force awakened in me halfway through that. Thank you. You're a little slow on the draw today. But it was just, you know, we do things sometimes we don't even know it. And we all, and I remember I spoke about this a few weeks ago. We all have kind of triggers sometimes. Someone event, someone says something, and we have these. And it's just this whole book written by a great Christian psychologist, I would highly recommend it, talks about how it's really difficult to rewire the brain. And in part of his book, he talks about the circle of love, not Lion King circle of life, the circle of love, okay? And he talks about, and if you want to write down some things, he says, you know, if the Bible's true, if there's a creator God that became man in Jesus Christ, then there should be some support of that. First, the major support we have is through scripture, okay? Through God's revealed word. The second thing that should confirm the facts are nature itself. We're going to look at that. And the third part of that is the experience. So what we experience in life should point to the fact that there is a creator God who loves us. What science should teach us about our universe is that there is a creator God who loves us. And what scripture should teach is that there is a creator God who loves us. So we're going to look at a whole lot of scripture right here at the beginning. We're going to look at that, and we're going to talk a little bit about this circle of love, okay? And so if you have your Bibles, and we have several of them on there, Old and New Testament all flow together about who God is. And I'm going to read some of those to you this morning. The first one is found, David writes this, Psalm 19, verse 7. If we have Psalm 19, verse 7 up there. It says this, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul, and the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The Old Testament talks a lot about the law of the Lord, and that's brought back in the New Testament. What is the law of the Lord is a question. When we think law, what do we think of? We usually think of maybe 10 commandments, the law of the Lord. We think of different things. But this law of the Lord is a theme that's taken up again and again. And this law of the Lord is love. Let's look at Deuteronomy. This is written by Moses, and he is writing here. And if you look at Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 13, it says this. He's talking to this second generation now. We know that they were freed from Egypt. They wandered in the desert for 40 years. And as Moses is dying and preaching his last sermons to this generation that grew up in the desert that is going to get it to go into the promised land, he says this. So if you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today to love the Lord God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. We know the Shema of the Jewish people is what? Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. And you are to love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind. When Jesus repeats this, and we're going to see that in a little bit, when he repeats this, he isn't given a new command. And you can go through, the Jewish people had the Ten Commandments, the basis of their law. And by the time Jesus gets around, they had added over 600 more, and they had all these laws, just like we have laws, like sit up, be quiet in church. You know, you have to go to church on Sunday. We create a bunch of laws. There were all these laws created around this. But the foundation of everything is what? To love God. And in Leviticus, he talks about loving the foreigner, which Jesus talks about your neighbor. And he brings those back. So the foundation of the Old Testament is not the Ten Commandments, as sometimes we think. It isn't the 600 laws. It isn't the temple worship. The foundation is loving God. And as I spoke in the communion about the Apostle John, his greatest thing that boggled his, he was a scholar. He wasn't just an old fisherman that decided to accept Christ and had six sermons and went around and preached, okay? He had studied under John the Baptist. He knew scripture. He'd been to Bible college with Jesus for 3 years, okay, around the campfire every night. So he knew this. And the thing that boggled his mind more than anything is that God loves me. If only that were the question the world was saying about the church. Man, the church loves us. Even in ourselves of the church, I cannot believe how much we love one another would be our biggest problem. Yet we can tend to be like the Jewish people, to be like human beings and get sidetracked on all these other things. But the foundation of the law of the Lord is to love God. Romans chapter 10, let's go to some New Testament passages. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Romans 13, 10 says this. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. There, Paul says very plainly, and if you've never, Paul writes his letter to Romans, and when he writes his letter to Romans, he is giving his theological thesis, okay? Paul sums everything up in the book of Romans, 16 chapters long, first 12 chapters, he lays out the whole salvation process. And then in chapters 12, 13, 14, 15, and 16, he has a lot of closing arguments, but he lays forth the application. And Paul, what Paul is saying is that love doesn't do any harm. How many this morning have been harmed by the church? Anybody ever been harmed by the church? How many feel like you have harmed someone? Okay, that's a wonderful thing about God's grace. We're not perfect, but listen, we've got to understand the fact that if we truly love, if we really get this, it isn't about correct doctrine. It isn't about right practices. It isn't about doing things the way we've always done them. What it is about is loving. And what Paul says here, love does no harm. So here's the deal. If you do harm, you're not acting in love. You know, okay, listen. I don't think God is ever going to be too angry with anyone that just loved everybody too much. If we're going to err on one side of it, let's err on the side of loving too much. Wouldn't that be a great accusation? You get to heaven, God says, man, John, you just love people too much. I'll take that rather than, man, you're really hard on people. Are you really too righteous. Okay, let's go on. Just a few other things here. James chapter 2. James, first book probably written in the New Testament. Okay, James writes this really early, probably at the time when the book of James was written, and why we always like James. How many have done a Bible study on James? I've done enough Bible studies for 150 years on James. Everybody likes James. You know why we like James? It's pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward. It's one of those I always refer to people. If you can't understand anything, read the book of James. If you can't understand the book of James, we need to talk. Because he just says there's some really simple stuff about how do we apply this. And it was a very Jewish church at that time. And he's saying, here's what it's about. Here's how you live. In James chapter 2, he says this. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, that word law again, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. James simplifies it down to stuff like, you know, watch your tongue, okay? Don't show favoritism. Love your neighbor. So again, he calls it the royal law there. And going down, and here Jesus, when he's asked that in Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 to 40, Jesus is asked, you know, they're trying to corner him again, this new rabbi, all this, and he's just talking way too much about love. So they said, well, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus replied, love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and your mind, okay? They had all heard this. They knew exactly. He was drawing that right from Deuteronomy chapter 6. They all knew that. This is the first and greatest commandment. But then Jesus goes on. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Okay? And I know, and you know, I'm not going to get tired of saying this because we shouldn't get tired of hearing it. Listen, he says that those are the two hinges on which the whole thing swings. It's what? Loving God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says all the laws and prophets are hinged on that. You ever have a door that doesn't work? You ever have a door off the hinges? You ever been unhinged? Okay? The idea is here, you can do all that other stuff, but if you have not love, you're not from me. That's what John says at the end. We can do all these things. Paul says in Corinthians, man, I can solve mysteries. I can speak in tongues of men and angels. I have enough faith to move mountains, but if I have not love, what? I'm nothing. I'm an empty sounding gong. And listen, we can fill the building six times over. We can build orphanages in Uganda. We can go mission trips to the cows come home, whatever that phrase means. Casey, tell me about that. All right. We can do all these things. But if we do not love one another, we have missed it. So in Scripture, we see in Scripture, and two last ones here, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 and 5. Paul describing this, it's always used for weddings. When he's not given a wedding verse here, he's telling Christians how to act towards one another. He says, love is patient. Amen. Anybody, just say amen when it hits it. If you have a problem being patient, just say amen. Love is patient. Okay. Love is kind. Okay. It does not envy. You ever catch yourself looking at someone else's stuff and thinking, well, why'd they get that? And I didn't get that. It does not boast. Amen. It's not proud. You know, I'm working on my pride. I'm doing an excellent job of it. Okay. All right. It does not dishonor others. Man, it's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. And it keeps no records of wrong. Now, what he's given us here, he's given us a description of what love is. And Paul's given this to a church that is incredibly talented, that has many spiritual gifts, probably some of the supernatural gifts of the first century they had at this church, okay? But they failed because they didn't love one another, and he tries to describe what love really is. Folks, we need to read that. We don't need to just apply that to as a wedding verse or some sort of home interior project, but what love really is. Last one in the New Testament here, 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. In fact, what I'm going to do, you can look at verse 8, but I want to read verses 7 to 12 because it's just so good. 1 John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, there it is, it's at the end. Still there. Chapter 4, verses 7 to 12. Listen to this, and then everything hinges on verse 8. Dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. That's kind of scary. If you don't love, I don't care how many baptismal certificates. I don't care if you were dunked forwards, back six times, name of Jesus, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I don't care if you give half your money away. I don't care if you're in church every time the door is open. If you don't love, you don't know God. If you don't love, you don't know God. And we've just went through a description of what love is. So if you're impatient, unkind, self-seeking, proud, dishonor other people, you don't love. You don't know what love is. And if you don't love, you don't know God, because God is love. Does that scare anybody? How many are thankful right now for the grace of God? I am, because you ain't getting there on your own. You're not getting there on your own. Verse 9, this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, that's why we celebrate communion. God loved us. We ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and love is made complete in us. You know, I want to take that to say, if we as a church, if you as an individual truly love the way God loves, people are going to see God. And in a world where many people say he doesn't exist, in a world that doubts that the God that they've seen growing up, the God they've seen in church they grew up, was not a God of love, they need to see God's love. I've talked to a few people this week about how do we witness to our friends that do not know God, do not know He exists. Or some of you probably have kids or grandkids or have friends that you're worried about where they're going to spend eternity. Here's the answer. You love them. You show them the love of God. You be the love of God in their life. And I think we had a pretty good description of what love is. Jesus said love's not, you know, John said earlier, he said it's not about blah, 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 your tongue and your words. It's about actions and truth. It's about doing something about it. For God so loved the world, what? He gave. He did something about it. What are you doing? Love's not a tickly sensation around your heart that cannot be scratched by human hands, okay? It's not something you feel because we had a good song in E minor, okay? It's not something you ginned up during an emotion. It is action in your life. Love is completely about surrendering yourself, your wants, your needs, and your sacrifices for everybody else. It's about serving other people. That's what love is. That's what Jesus did. Not that we have loved, but God loved us. So in Scripture, it's pretty clear, and we can go on and on. There are so many Scriptures. We can go on and on from Scripture to show what love is. Now let's look at a little bit of nature here. It says this in Romans. Romans chapter 1, and when Paul, I said, he set forth this incredible thesis on Christianity. In Romans chapter 1, it says something we might overlook a lot. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, it says this. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what was made, so men are without excuse. Now, what he says there, I added that in, you know, at the end, Andrew, it's not your fault, it's my fault, I didn't have that up there. But what God is telling them, that we are without excuse. Because if you look at what God has made, okay, what has God made? Universe, everything, he's made everything. He says, if you look at the world, there should be something that should be pretty evident, because the world should reflect God's nature. It says it should reflect his invisible qualities. What it says here, invisible qualities, what's invisible mean? Cannot be seen. It says, listen, all right. So it's really, just if you slow down and think a little, chew on it, it's Christmas. We have time, okay? We're not busy. What you cannot see about God, he says, are clearly seen in creation. What you cannot see can be seen clearly, okay, in nature. So I want you to do this, and I've chosen a few things here myself, and I even put pictures up so we can see them. Picture number one, click again. Oh, it's there? Oh, I don't see it back there. I get it. Okay, right here. This is a water cycle, okay? Anybody ever learn this? Okay, in science, that first thing, you know, the rains came down, and then it goes in the river, and the river flows to the ocean, and the sun soaks it up, and it evaporates, and it goes up in the cloud, and then there's condensation, then the rains came down. What is that? What is that? Look what I'm doing with my finger. What is that? Circle. You guys are bright. Okay, it's a circle. This is clearly seen, right? Clearly seen. That we could see this, that this is what happens. All right. So it's clearly seen in nature. Number two, what's this? Anybody hear anything lately about bees? You know, there's kind of a scary thing. What happens if bees die? We die. How does that work? A bee flies, he sees a flower, and he goes, and he gets pollen, and then what does he do when he gets that pollen? He flies another plant, and all the pollen comes off, and guess what happens? More flowers, more plants. Okay, there's a cycle here, right? Even in the bees die, we die. Okay, something happens. Water gets out of the cycle. Everybody ever hear this sea that's down and over in Israel? It's really salty. What's it called? Why? It's dead. Why is it dead? Because the cycle stops there. It doesn't have an outlet. It quits flowing. So when something interrupts the cycle, there are consequences. Bees. Let's go to another one. This is highly educational. O2, CO2. Who's the scientist among here? What's O2? All right. What's CO2? Oh, thank God for biology. All right. Anybody get a little worried about deforestation? Anybody ever hear this little word once in a while about climate? Okay, what's the problem here? What do we breathe? What do plants breathe? And what do we let out? What do plants let out? You see something? There's a circle. What is invisible quality of God is clearly seen in his nature. And we can go on and on. Let's go on with just a few things. And it's not just this. Blink. Oh, closed and open. Gary Munda, electricity, right? I can tell you a lot about it when I stuck a penny in a light socket, my first science experience. I was homeschooled at 3, okay? I know when I closed that cycle, something lit up, right? And we know it's a cycle. Even electricity, stuff we can't see, it's a cycle, okay? We got to master this, and now we get to use it for all kinds of good things, okay? We can build buildings without windows because we know how electricity works, but it's in God's nature. Keep going. Now we got your attention. This is the offering plate. We took a few pictures a minute ago. I mean, it's not just in created things. It's in everything. Economy, what happens? You put money in the market. There's economy. It moves. And what it keeps moving. It keeps moving. It keeps moving. It's simple. We won't want to get political here, but if money stops moving and it's put in your mattress, what happens to it? It doesn't grow. Yeah. Doesn't help the economy. Doesn't help anybody else. There's cycles here, you know, and we're learning about that and we're seeing that. Okay, so it's just not a physical thing. It's built in the creation of the universe. And we'll go on to the last one here because we can keep going forever and ever. What are those? Those are planets. Mercury stopped real quick and everybody butted up against him. Okay, but you know, what do? They circle, they rotate. There's an orbit. And you know what? We're just a little dust ball part of that universe. And this galaxy is part of a bigger universe. We don't even know. I don't even know all the names. So you just keep on going. That everything's turning. Everything's moving. Even in the Old Testament, when Ezekiel sees God, what does he describe God? As a will within the will. So in Scripture, we see there's this law of love. In nature, we can see a reflection of God's invisible quality as this idea of something moving. And when Ezekiel sees a vision of God, Ezekiel tries to describe something he's seeing, and I don't think it's UFO he's seeing. He's just saying God is a will within a will. He's moving. In our own experience in our own life, so there's the Bible. There's what nature says. In our own experience, we know that somewhere, listen, this is where we're going to come home with this. There's a circle of love. And a long time ago, there was this circle of love between God and his creation. Says that Adam and Eve walked with God. And every evening, God would come and walk with them in the garden. And as he walked with them in the garden, there was this exchange. There was this relationship. And the relationship was good because it was a moving relationship. Okay? And then something happened. That circle was broken. And what broke that circle was mistrust and fear. And the world was thrown into chaos. Just like in God's nature, when circles are broken, everything suffers. And when that circle was broken, that perfect relationship with God was broken, everything got messed up. The whole universe was messed up. He says, now Adam, now the ground will work against you. Now Eve, there will be great pain in childbirth. Now you will die because it's broken. But God says, I don't want this circle of love with my relationship with my creation to ever be broken forever and ever and ever. I want to restore it. So he said, I will send forth my son. And he will be a savior. And he will reestablish a relationship. And here it is. Now we have the ability to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind because Jesus Christ was born, but he grew up. And he reconnected the circle. He reconnected us with God. And now we have to change how we've grown up. Because we've grown up in a chaotic world. Many of us, not just our relationship with God, but because of a result of sin, our relationship with our parents. Maybe relationships with spouses. Maybe relationships with children is broken. And just as Satan says you cannot trust God because he knows if you eat this, you will be like him. And the first sin was motivated by mistrusting God. How many of you have trust issues? Because not only your relationship with God, but your relationship with someone who should have been the one to continue the love to you did not continue it to you. And it stopped. And it's plaguing you. Because now it's hard to trust anybody. Now it's hard not to live in fear. Because something has gummed up the works. See, there's a pattern in Scripture. God says that you love. And he goes, I will pour out my love on you. And you pour out your love to other people. And other people will receive that love. And they will come to know me. And then they will love others. See, God says, you keep that circle going. You keep loving. But every one of us in our life, somewhere at a time, we have to reconnect with God. Because that's the source. Not that we love God, that God loved us. And we reconnect with him. And then we have to do the hard work of reconnecting with one another. We have to learn to trust. Because as long as we do not trust one another, as long as our first reaction is fear, it's going to be hard for us to love. And some of you, I know you and I love you and I've heard the stories. You were not loved the way you needed to be loved. You were not shown the love of God. The trust with the very people who were supposed to show that to you didn't give that to you. And it's made it really hard on you. And it's affected how you think. Listen, the church is the first fruits. We should be the place where people come and they experience this love of God. This should be the place that we come together and that we know that we are loved. We know that I am the pastor loved by God. That's my identity as John. And I want you today, as we celebrate Christmas, you know, we light this candle and we talk about God as love. I want you to understand that you are loved. And the first thing you have to understand is God loves you. The church doesn't always do a good job. The church sometimes thinks it's our job to convict people. It's God's job to love them, right? Our job is to love people. Let the Holy Spirit do his job. And he will. I'm pretty sure God can hold up his end of the bargain. Always has, always will. But we love people. And we show them there is someone you can trust. There is someone that loves you despite, just who you are. We love you exactly there because we have been loved. That's who we are. That's the message. That's the good news. The gospel of love. The gospel in a word is love. God is love, the Bible tells us. And this circle of love begins with us, begins in the church with us being the people that show that love. Listen, there's a couple people I know right in this area somewhere. I'm not going to look right at you. They're all going to be getting married this year. Not all, just different marriages. But anyway, listen, it's a trust thing. It's learning to love without expecting anything back. Because God gave his son, even though he knew most of the world would reject him. You know why? Because love doesn't expect anything back. Love doesn't love with just motives. For love is completely selfless. The Greeks had this great word for it. We didn't play the video today. You can go Bible Project. Look, that is a great word. Agape love. Unconditional love. We say it all the time. Blah, blah, blah. We name the four and we say unconditional love. You know what unconditional love is? I'm going to love because I love. Because I'm part of the circle. Because I'm receiving it from God. And it's got to pour out of me. And if I stop it up, I'm gummed up. And I don't love people so I'll get something back. I don't love people because I'm paid to love people. I don't love people so they'll love me back. Man, the hardest things in my life is just not to love people so I get something back. Because a little bit, I spend a little bit too much time worrying about am I loved. Quit asking it. It doesn't matter. You are. Bam. Got it? You're loved by God. That's enough. You don't need anything else. And if that isn't enough, you don't understand it. Your duty is not to ask who's going to love me, is who am I going to love. And man, when we start doing that, when you start thinking that way, when you start functioning that way and quit worrying about, yeah, I was mistreated, I was abused, this, I wasn't loved, blah, you know, welcome to the world. It's broken, right? But God solved that because he reconnected us through Jesus Christ. That's why a baby was born. And then he says, you know what? I'm going to do this thing totally weird. I'm going to use broken people that are part of the universe, and I'm going to fill them with my Holy Spirit, the Spirit of love, and I'm going to allow them to begin to love perfectly. And how imperfect people love perfectly is amazing. And when we do that, people are going to go, what? And they're going to say, how do you do that? And we're going to say, you know how I do that? Because of Jesus. Because of what he's done in my life. Let me tell you my story. And you tell them your story. The gospel knows the word is love. Christmas is about an incredible gift given to us. So every time you hear from now until, you know, we get done till Wednesday, when you hear, oh man, God's gift of love, I want you to remember what love is. And you're part of that circle of love because Jesus Christ has come and he's died for you. Walk out of here knowing today, I'm loved. And walk out of here challenging yourself to say, I'm going to get rid of the mistrust, I'm going to get rid of the fear, and I'm going to love people. And just begin to think about what God can do in your life, in your family, and in this body, and in our community, if we truly love the way God has commanded us to love. Amen? Let's stand up. We're going to sing a song here. And thank God for incredible love for us. If you do not know who Christ is, if you do not have a relationship with him, listen, if you don't know who he is, if you've never accepted him as Lord and Savior, you can try your best to love. It's impossible. It's hard. Amen, Christians. It's hard enough to love people when we got the Spirit of Christ in us, right? That's tough. You have no hope without knowing who Jesus is. And if you don't know who he is, man, we got some people that can help you. I can help talk to you about, explain who Jesus is and why he loves you and how loved you really are. Because many of us, if we walk out of here and we're unable to love, it's because we don't know how loved we are. I'm going to stop now and pray for you. Okay? But you need to know Jesus. And once you know him, you need to surrender everything to him and allow him to deal with all those things that are keeping you from loving others. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today. Father, I thank you for your love for us. And Father, I thank you that because you have loved us, we see it in your word, we see it in your world, and Father, I've seen it in my experience in life, that you love me. Father, I pray that every one of us here who know you can become a vessel through which your love flows unconditionally to other people. And they won't look to us, but they'll look to you, the source of that love. And Father, come to know you. Father, I pray for those here who have not given their life fully to you. They might call themselves a Christian. They might have done something in the past. But Father, I pray today that each and every person here would surrender and become a follower of you, being like you and loving the way you love. We thank you and we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.